John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Verse 17 says, "He did not send His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And I just believe God is saying that He loves you so much, and He did not come to condemn you. He did not come to condemn you, but to save you. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel condemned, but God did not send His Son to condemn you, but to save you. All you need to do is to believe, because whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank You that we can come to You this morning because You love us. And we do not need to be afraid, because You did not come to condemn us, but to save us. And we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for that confidence that we can come in Your presence and know that You're with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I was in Malawi, visited some of the churches there, and I was also fortunate enough to pop by Pastor Alwyn's in Lilongwe and to preach at his church. Things are going well, and he sent a little voice note that we're going to play for you.
Hello, Shofa Hamana.
On behalf of Shofa Lilongwe, my wife and I would like to thank you all for your prayers. We had a safe trip back home, and we have had 9 successful Sunday services. And we just want to ask you guys to keep on praying for us. May God bless you.
We love you.
That's Pastor Alwyn's and Jackie. It's going well with them. Please continue to pray for them. Thank you for those who are and sending in messages. Please do so. It really encourages them. The church is growing. Their finances is not, but their church is. And they need to move from the school classroom that they're currently in to a bigger venue. And we were talking about ways to help them to do that. One way they suggested, and I kind of like the idea, is that in Malawi, you can import vehicles from Japan very cheaply, unlike in South Africa. And for $2,500, you can buy a very decent combi, taxi, even a Quantum. That's about 33,000 rand, to give you an idea. So we would like to raise some funds for them to buy a vehicle like that, which will enable them to rent it out from Monday to Fridays to schools, to do the school runs. And that finance that they generate through that vehicle will enable them to move to a bigger venue. Venues in the city in Lilongwe is very expensive. It's about 2,000 rand per Sunday to rent a venue. So it's quite expensive in the city to rent a venue, because there are just so many churches there. So we'd like to make themselves sustainable through starting a small little enterprise for them as a church. So if you would like to contribute to that, please feel free to do so. In the BodyServe account, just mention Malawi as a reference, so that we can buy them that bus. We trust the Lord to be able to do that by December, so that they can start early next year. Apparently in December, Japan has sales on their vehicles. So we want to go for the vehicle sale by December. Then also, we were speaking about the shack that we are busy building in the Himmel and Aarde Valley. And we've asked for some contribution. Thank you for those who have contributed. You can still do so if you want to. But on the 9th of September, that is a Saturday morning, every nation is joining us. Or the men of every nation is joining us to build that shack. So we're going to buy all the material, and on the 9th of September at 9 o'clock, we're going to meet here at the office. So if you, I don't want to say a guy, because I know some girls can also work with their hands, But if you can join us on Saturday the 9th, 9 o'clock, it will be an awesome time. It will only take us about a half a day to finish that shack. So if you've got tools and stuff, please bring it along on the 9th of September. Then also there's a baptism straight off. Sharon, are you here? Where are you? There we go. Sharon's getting baptized. If there's anybody else who'd like to join her, you don't need anything. I've got extra towels. You can go in as you are. But we're going to baptize straight after church. We're very excited about that. At the Old Harbor, as usual. So please come and join us. The more of us who go, the greater the testimony to the town that the church is still alive. So please join us there. This morning I want to share around prayer. I have a short video clip before I start.
Most people pray. People who go to church and those who don't. Most people pray without even knowing it. When we're on a plane as it takes off, for some reason, we pray. When our favorite sports team is in a close game, we bite our nails and we pray. When we're being wheeled into an operating room, even if it's a simple procedure, for some unknown reason, we pray. The words, they just come out, often words we don't even hear ourselves whispering. Lord, help my mom be okay. God, I hope this pilot knows how to fly. Lord, help my team to win. Jesus, what in the world am I doing right now? Again, most people pray. Whether we're pursuing God or not, the words, they just come out. But something changes when we have a relationship with God. Our heart, it becomes alive, and because of that, our prayers and our words come alive. And we're no longer just talking to someone, we're talking with someone, with God. Because there's a relationship, a foundation with Jesus.
I want to share this morning around prayer. It's a very well-known topic. It's something we all do. I was in Malawi, and just before the service, in Malawi, by the way, they have lots of power cuts all the time. So we had church without power, but that was fun. And Pastor Alvin was just sharing before the service, as he was leading us into prayer, he quoted a scripture in Matthew 21, a very well-known portion of scripture. Yeah, in Matthew 21, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the doves. And then he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves.'" My house shall be called a house of prayer. It made me think, we modern Christians, do we still pray? I mean, our churches are known for our great worship. It's known for our great programs and our great ministries, but is our church still known for its prayer? Why should we still pray? You know, I was preparing, and as I was preparing, God laid this scripture on my heart in Deuteronomy chapter 6, from verse 10 to 15. God speaks to the nation Israel before they entered the promised land. And we know that the Old Testament is just a metaphor of the realities that is still coming, not the realities themselves, but it's a metaphor, a shadow for us to learn from also. And in it, great mystery, as God dealt with his own people, Israel, and leading them as a metaphor of how we ought to live our lives now that we are in Christ in the promised land of his kingdom. So here, God speaks to the Israelites before they enter the promised land, before they enter their rest, before they take hold of the promise of God. "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. heaved out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We live in this amazing dispensation of grace, where God has given us every spiritual blessing that there is in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to us in and through Jesus. He's given us great promises which has been fulfilled in our lifetime. That we will be saved by grace through faith and not through works. And that we'll inherit the kingdom and that His Spirit will live within us. And that we'll be called children of God. We did not earn it, this great salvation. He gave it to us freely. It's called grace. Houses full of all good things, spiritual revelation, which you did not fill. Wells, living waters, which you did not dig. And vineyards and olive trees, spiritual gifts, which you did not plant. And when you have eaten and are full of the Holy Spirit and of promise, then beware lest you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him, and shall take oaths in His name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. God did not change after He sent His Son to save us. He's still a jealous God. He still loves us and yearns for us. And He doesn't want to share us because He loves us. Now that we've been set free from Egypt and the house of bondage, now that we've been set free from sin and the bondage of the law, and we have entered into His rest by grace, then we should be aware. We should be aware that we do not forget Him. The God that gave us this grace, the God that gave us this great salvation, the God that gave us His Son and His Spirit that lives within us, we should not forget Him. After 20 years in ministry and searching my own heart, I fear sometimes we forget that God is jealous for us. More than ever before. I mean, if you think about it, in comparison to the Old Testament, God has given us so much more. He has sacrificed so much more. Under the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament times, God gave us promises. He got us promises that one day, He will fill us with His own Spirit and we will become the temple. And He will live in us, not just amongst us. And that He will set us free from sin and the power of sin. And He will remove our sins as far as the west is from the east is from the west, and we'll be whiter than snow, and we will be called His children. And under the new covenant, He didn't just give us a promise, He gave us His Son. And that promise was fulfilled. He gave us His Spirit who lives within us, and we now have everything. Spiritually, we have everything. That's what the great men of faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, you know them. They longed to see what we have today. And now that we have received everything and we are full spiritually, then we should, like the word says, beware lest we forget God who gave us all this freely. He longs for us even more jealously. In the old covenant, we were engaged to God with a promise. But now that we're married with Him, do we really think that He's less jealous? Now that we're married? No, God yearns for us and He's jealous over us. And yes, We are quick to say that Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. But you know what? A relationship without communication is dead. We are so quick to say it's not religion, it's a relationship, but a relationship without communication is dead. You know what? This covenant of marriage can become quite empty without communication. I mean, yes, I'm in covenant with my wife, but you know what? Without communication, this covenant can become quite empty. And I guess you can ask any wife here. I mean, those of us who are married will soon discover, but marriage is great, but without that intimate communication, without that time together, without sharing our hearts with one another and our lives with one another, without being able to talk freely and intimately with one another, this covenant, this commitment becomes quite mundane and sometimes tedious because of the lack of something so simple yet something so profound. And that's communication. That is speaking to one another in sincerity, in intimacy, and in honesty. That's really what relationship is about. Relationship is, that's why internet dating and Facebook dating and I don't know what dating you do these days, it's so fake. Because it lacks this face-to-face time with one another. And it is true, I can talk to my wife while I'm going about my life. While I'm busy with all the stuff around me, I can go about my day and talk to my wife as I can with my staff and with all of you. It's possible for me to talk to my wife while I'm busy building. I was working in my garden, building a shed this weekend, and it's possible to talk to my wife while I'm working. But we know it's not the same, is it? When I stop what I'm busy with, and she calls me and she says, I want to talk to you. Can you put down the hammer and just sit on the couch and have a cup of tea with me? Now, there's a big difference. And as modern Christians, we're so quick to say, yes, but I speak to God all the time. And yes, we can do that. We can speak to Him while we're building the shed and while we drop the kids and while we're busy with, oh, and of course, you know what? My wife loves this. I can speak to my wife while I'm lying next to her in the bed, on my phone, surfing the internet. I can talk to my wife like that too. She really loves that. Oh, she loves that. You know, I can multitask. You know, I can multitask. We're married after all. I mean, really. Oh, she loves that. Now, I'll tell you what my wife really loves is when I take her on a date. Just me and her, without the kids. Just eye contact, focus, me and you, where we can talk about what's going on in her heart and what's going on in mine. That really makes a relationship real. Come on, let's be real. That's really what it's about. It's spending time with God personally, intimately, one-on-one without distractions. That is really what relationship is about. And that is what prayer is. Prayer is communicating with God. It is talking to God. It's talking to God, yes, while I'm busy with my day and while I'm dropping the kids and in between. That's part of prayer. But you know what is really powerful about prayer? When it's just me and God. When it's just me and God. That is where prayer becomes personal and powerful. And as I talk to God, it's no different than talking to my wife. It's no different than sharing my heart in a place where we are connecting with one another because of one another. Not because I have to, but because I want to. You know, our wives doesn't like it when we only talk to them after they force us to do so. I mean, who of your wives take away your food and say, well, I'm not going to give you food until you speak to me? No, my wife doesn't do that, don't worry. But you know, sometimes I fear we only get intimate with God when we don't have food. I mean, then we seek God when things do go wrong, when there is not enough or things do not come through, then we are very quick to make an appointment with God. Excuse me, God, you have some time. We've got to talk. And God is patient. He loves us. Now, prayer is simply talking with God. It's a private conversation with an almighty God. An almighty God. I mean, in the old times, in the old covenant, I mean, we couldn't even get into God's presence. I mean, the best we could do is bring some offering for our sins and then some thanks offering to a priest that on our behalf prays for us and then goes away where we can't see him in God's presence. I mean, we couldn't even get there. Now that we are there, now that we have access into the most holy place, I mean, the veil was torn for us so that we don't need a mediator to get into God's presence, never mind into the temple, but into the Holy of Holies. We can come into the throne room of God. We can come there any time of day or night. We don't need to go through any ritual or any form or any sacrifice. We can just enter whenever we can. And God says, when you get there, don't forget me. I mean, now that I've given you everything that you've desired, everything that you wanted, now that you don't need to work, you don't need to labor, you don't need to sacrifice, you don't need to go through all these rituals, when you get there, beware lest you forget me, who gave you everything. That's really God's heart. He wants to spend time with us because He loves us. He loves us. And sometimes we just go on with life. Thanks, God. Thanks for the salvation and the Holy Spirit and all the gifts and assurance. And thanks. But all that was really just to give us space to come to Him. God loves it when we come into His presence, just the way we are. But he is jealous. And jealousy is not a bad thing. Obviously, any emotion can be twisted into something bad. But jealousy is a good thing. How many people do you know that is jealous about you? How many people do you know is jealous about you? You know, when my old girlfriends wants to come visit me, I can see it in my wife's eyes. She doesn't like it. And you know, I feel good. I feel good because you know what? I know she loves me. She doesn't want to share me. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God is jealous about you. He's jealous about you. You know, if I see my wife go out with coffee dates with the same gentleman over and over again, I think I might get jealous. How many coffee dates do you have with God? I mean, sometimes we forget God is a person. He's real. More real than we think. And He loves you so much and He wants to spend time with you. And He's done everything in His power, everything that was necessary to remove whatever hindered us from being able to do just that. There's nothing that prevents us from coming into His presence. And there's nothing more that He loves to do than to spend that time with you. Just real you, just where you're at. You don't need to pretend. You don't need to change your voice when you pray to Him. You don't need to change your language. You can just come to Him. Say, Father, I want to thank you for loving me. God, I had a rough day today. And I don't know about my kids. And I don't know about my work. And I don't know about this. But I know one thing. You love me. And there's just so many things going around me. But I know you love me so much. God, I want to thank you that I can come to you with what Wilhelm shared about. All these things that I'm afraid about, the stress about, all this anxiety and fear, all this concerns, all about the uncertainty about what tomorrow may bring and the future may hold. God, I want to thank you that I can come to you and know you are the Almighty God. Nothing is impossible for you, and you love me. And I want to thank you that I can come to you with all these things. And I can lay it at your feet and say, God, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me faith. Give me your peace. What shall I do and how shall I do it? I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for what you've given me. God, you've given me everything that I need, and I believe and trust in you that you will continue to do that all the days of my life because I know you love me. Speaking to God. The most important reason why we speak to God is because He loves us and because we love Him. That's why we speak to Him. That's why we pray. And you know what? Prayer doesn't have to be long, like my sermons. It doesn't have to be long at all. As a matter of fact, I went to Google to see, you know, Google. I even use Google from time to time. I wanted to see how many prayers are there in the Bible. And I didn't have enough time, I must confess, last week to go check that from Genesis to Revelation. So I Googled. I confess, I Googled. Okay. How many prayers are there in the Bible? And amazingly, there's 222 prayers. And I got the site that actually named all the prayers and where they found it. What was amazing about that site is they actually said how many words are every prayer. How long is every prayer? It was fascinating. So I looked at all these prayers and I realized I was correct because I started off knowing this. All the prayers that I've ever read in the Bible are very short. I don't know if you've noticed this. All the prayers that has been recorded for us as an example for us for generations is very short. I mean, the longest prayer that I thought there was John 17 when Jesus prayed for his disciples and then prayed for us. John chapter 17. And lo and behold, it is the longest prayer in the New Testament. But if you count the Psalms, then I guess Psalm 119 is longer. The longest prayer in the New Testament is John 17, where Jesus prays. And it's recorded for us word for word. You know what? John 17 is 680 words. 638 words. 638 words. It's the longest prayer in the New Testament. There is 46 prayers in the New Testament. The longest is 638 words, and I timed myself. I read that with passion and pauses and everything, and I got to 4 minutes. That's Jesus' plea to the Father for His disciples and those who believe in Him. 4 minutes. You must go read that prayer. It's passionate, intimate, and powerful. 4 minutes. If you take Psalm 119 that David wrote, now he was an artist, you know those type. They always go on and on and on. It was 2,560 words. That's about 16 minutes. Prayer doesn't need to be long, people. Prayer doesn't need to be long. But it needs to be personal. That's what makes prayer powerful. God doesn't expect us, and please, don't misunderstand me. Yes, Jesus did pray all night long, and His disciples slept. No. They also prayed for many hours. But the prayer, the communication, the talking with me, God is looking for, is not a long prayer, but it's a personal one. It doesn't need to take hours, but minutes. Where we are honest and real before God. Where we just take some time from our busy lives and just pause a moment to have coffee or tea with Jesus. To go into a quiet place where we separate ourselves of the busyness. And we can quiet ourselves. That's what it's really about. It's about quieting ourselves. And just say, God, here I am. This is where I'm at. I know you love me and I love you. I want to be with you. And I want to share my life with you. These are the things that concern me. These are the things that blesses me. God, I want to thank you for what you're doing for me. Between 4 and 16 minutes. I guess we can work that in our busy schedules. Just pausing once a day. And pray like Jesus. Go read that prayer in John 17. Just 4 minutes. And that prayer still speaks to this very day. I mean, it's so powerful. We don't need to pray long. I took all the prayers in the New Testament because I didn't have enough time and they didn't, unfortunately didn't work out the average. I counted all the words of all the prayers in the New Testament and I divided it by the number of prayers to get an average. What is the average length of the prayer recorded for us as an example in the New Testament? It's 40 words. 40.7 words. But it was all personal. It was all between God and me. Jesus in Matthew 6 said, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, when you have left everything, and you're alone with me, pray to your Father who is in heaven, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, you ought to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." We know the prayer. It's a very short one. You can do that one in 15 seconds. Prayer doesn't need to be long, but it needs to be personal. It needs to be in a place where we connect with Him, where we just shut down everything around us, and say, God, face to face, me time with you. This is where I'm at. I want to thank you for your love for me, that you're a good God. This is what's happening in my life. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Father. 4 to 15 minutes every day. It will change your life. It will change your life. That is it for today. That's part one. Why do we pray? It doesn't need to be long. So let us pray. Father, thank you that you've come to give us life. That life is in your Son. That life that you've come to give us is in your Son. It's in Christ, it's in Jesus, it's in His love, it's in His mercy, in His grace, in His patience, in His kindness, in His goodness, in His person. It's in His person. It is in you. It's getting to know you that I know life. The more I know you, the more I know life. The more I experience of you, the more I experience of this abundance of life that you've given us. Lord, I want to thank you for this life. I want to thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you took away all my sin, all my shame, all my guilt, every single thing that hindered me from coming into your presence. You took away the fear. You gave me boldness and confidence, knowing that you love me and that I can come to you any time, day or night. You're never asleep. You're never too tired. You never had a rough day. You never have a headache. You are always there. I want to thank you for that, Father. I want to thank you that we can come to you and declare our love for you and our dependency on you. Thank you, Father, that you will never reject us. You will never shun us away, but you will receive us every time because you love us. And Lord, I pray that we will not forget you. That we will not forget you in this busy life with so many things happening and so many blessings. We will not forget you. Help us, Father, not to forget you. Remind us of your love every day as we open our eyes and we breathe our first breath in the morning and we see the sun and the rain and the wind and we hear the sea and see the mountains around us. Let us not forget you. But let us worship you. God, thank you for this privilege. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.